Hi again, everybody. It's Chuck Ross, editorial director here at Television Week, and we're here talking the day after the finale of day six of 24 with executive producer and showrunner Howard Gordon. Good morning, Howard. quite an evening last night. Did you watch it with your family?
I did. I watched it with my sister-in-law and my in-laws and my kids.
Oh, pretty exciting. And now, you've done this a few times. Do you sort of, what's the feeling after it airs? I mean, you know, and now you're sort of done. And, of course, we know you're going to be busy for next season. But what's the initial response right after the airing?
Well, for me, I was in tears. Because it kind of, to me, it represents the end of a long season and a challenging season. But, I actually felt really satisfied watching it. I think it came together beautifully, and I was very proud of it. I think Sean Callery did a great job, the post-production people, and obviously, you know, as you could tell, it was a pretty labor-intensive and effects-intensive show, and I think it came out really, really fantastic.
Where was that shot? I mean, I take it that, or maybe it was that a real oil rig?
It was a real oil rig, but it was shot over four locations. There was actually a model. It was a real oil rig. There was a built set. And there was an interior of a location, so there were four different locations that all added up to one.
Wow, very impressive. And now that the season's over, I do want to ask a couple of things about how the fans can continue. I know one of the things that you've got going on is the I guess what we sort of refer to as the 24 debrief, but I think that's just with American Express cardholders. Am I correct?
You know, I don't know exactly who's entitled to it. I think, yes, I think American Express cardholders, and I think Sprint is going on to, through Fox Mobile, onto a cell phone platform as well.
Great. And is that something that you and your staff participate in?
We helped do this, you know, at the behest of Fox, and it came out, you know, we did it with under a little duress. Not really the rest, but we were just we were kind of tired at the end of the season, but it was something we had talked about doing, and it came out really well. It was really Kiefer was in it with Isai Morales, and it was it turned out creatively to be a very good experience for everybody.
Okay, and is that so? And then is that the same thing as Day Zero, or is that something? Is that something?
No, it's something else. Day
okay.
Zero. Debrief is it takes place 36 hours after the end of this season. So
okay, I haven't checked it out yet, so I urge everybody to check that out. Okay,
it's a little bit of a grace note of answering some questions about Jack's time in China, and and again, I think it's in a sense it's sort of a little one act play kind of thing, but I think it worked really, really well.
Great,
we enjoyed doing it. The Day Zero part is actually technically a prequel. It's an animated, flash-animated kind of graphic novel prequel, which takes place, essentially the year before season one. So some of the old themes, some of the old characters, Nina, Mason, are back, although in their graphic novel, Tony, Almeida, back in their graphic novel ways.
Great. And how does one get access to Day Zero?
I think Day Zero is, I think you just type dayzero.com or it's done through Unilever, or I'm sure it's on the Fox site somewhere.
Great, fantastic. And that's something that you guys also participated in.
Yeah, I supervised somebody's writing it, and it came out kind of well, and I think fans will enjoy it.
Fantastic. Well, what we've done is, as you know, we've had fans email us, and we've actually had a couple of fans actually ask you the questions themselves, and we didn't have time to do as much as I wanted. So what I've done is actually accumulated a bunch of questions that I just want to ask you and go through real quickly, and these are some that we've gotten multiple questions from different people about. So
sure.
One question says here, the last we saw former President Logan, he was en route to the hospital before his heart began to crash. Is he in fact dead, and if so, what went to the decision for him to go out in that matter, or is there room for him to return?
Chuck, I'm sorry, can you say it one more time a little
I'm far? Sorry, yeah, I sure will. It's about former President Logan, and the question was, is he in fact dead, or may he perhaps return in a future day?
Yeah, there's some debate about whether he's dead or not. In my opinion, he's definitely not dead. So no, he is not dead, and I think to the extent that he's still alive, that's always a possibility. I mean, he's obviously one of our, you know, most beloved characters. So if he were to work into a story, that would be great. Right now, there's no plans, you know, for him. But then again, there aren't very many plans for anyone. So I don't know.
Okay, very good. And by the way, that came from Matt in St. Louis, and also Sean wanted to know that. Sean also wants to know, was there a particular reason why Wayne Palmer wasn't in the finale?
You know, we actually had written a draft where Wayne is in, there's a moment between David, between Wayne Palmer and Noah Daniels, and it felt a little tacked on. I mean, you'll notice at the end of these shows sometimes there are a fair number of wrap-ups, relationships that get to be wrapped up, and in this case it felt extraneous, and it felt, you know, perhaps more contrived than the others. So we just referenced it twice with regard to, you know, Wayne Palmer's very much invoked by Noah Daniels over the course of this finale. So, so ultimately, we chose not to show him.
Right. Sean also wanted to know if how you guys react to spoilers. If someone puts up a spoiler, and if you have the opportunity to change that, if it happens to be what was spoiled is true, would you go ahead and do that? Or you
No, we would never just change any. Or, you know, the stories when they come out right are precious enough that we will we'll keep to our course. I just have to hope that people who put them out there either get ignored, or people who have fair warning before they open up
sure.
a file or something. Yeah,
and that was
what happens is often it's interesting because sometimes a rumor will get out and we'll have changed the story because the story wasn't working. So what's happened sometimes is I've read spoilers that come out and they're just actually, you know, misinformation because we've changed our minds, but not
right.
because of the spoiler.
Very good. And again, that was Sean Mooney who asked that. Another question, and this is from a viewer who's a little older, and obviously what's so great about 24, as you know, I mean, not only does it appeal to the key Fox demographic, but obviously it appeals to people of all age groups. And this is someone who's a little older, and I think you'll appreciate the question. It says, I feel frustrated trying to watch and listen to 24 because so much of what's on air is so dark, and also the dialogue sometimes isn't as clear as, let's say, you'd have in other shows that didn't have, you know, the look and the sound of 24. And it just says, I realize that I'm getting old and cranky, but that's another reason that I hope my TV can replace some of the missing little pleasures of my life now. So obviously it's an older viewer. This is James calling from who wrote in from College Station in Texas.
No, you know, I'm very sympathetic to that, and having a number of fans who I actually am in communication with who are a little bit older. I mean, one thing I've actually recommended is to actually try to see if you can use the closed caption.
Yeah, he actually addresses that. He said that he tried to do that, and it just he just says, I've tried it, but trying to see the picture and reading the dialogue doesn't really work for me. So he tried that.
Oh, that's too
yeah.
bad.
Yeah, it is a shame.
Yeah, we're attentive to it, and we really try to modulate it so that the dialogue comes through. I would say, though, that, you know, hopefully the sense and the gist of the episode is clear enough, and that if you miss a little bit, hopefully it won't sacrifice too much of your enjoyment of the show.
Right. By the way, there's a great little piece on YouTube and some of the viral videos. I don't know if you've seen it, that was from Kiefer's appearance on The Tonight Show at one point, where they did a montage of the dammits that he does. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
It's hysterical. And one of the fans wanted to know, and I'm sort of curious myself, I sort of an odd, sort of interesting question, but are the dammits scripted or not?
That's a great question. They are often scripted and often improvised, and maybe that's why.
Okay. I thought that was a good question. Here's a question, and like I said, I just sort of pulled out a representative ones, and I'm sure you've heard this year as well. This is from Ron Randall calling, and he's in Chicago. I've been a loyal fan of 24 since the first year, but it does seem that this season has seen a number of repeat plot lines, and the intensity of previous seasons appears to be lacking. And he was wondering if how you feel about that, and if next season that you're going to return to some of the twists, turns, excitement, and surprises of the best of the previous seasons. And I know you've talked about it before, but we are asked, so I hope you don't
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm very cognizant of you know of that criticism. I think what I hope viewers, you know, recognize too is that, you know, the show, you know, show has a show is a show, and at some level, the essence of that show is, you know, is going to demand a certain amount of repetition. But we are mindful of it, and we are attempting to not repeat ourselves, and we're aware of moments that do feel repetitive. I think some of it may be, you know, viewer fatigue. People who've been watching the show for as long as they have, you know, are seeing some things that feel like they're repetitive. But we're mindful of it because, look, we write the show. We want to enjoy it as much in our writing of it as people want to in their watching of it.
Right.
So I have to say that we're all on the same team here, and we're really trying to make the show as new every year as we can. And this
right.
year, we're especially coming up, season 7, we're especially dedicated to doing that.
Fantastic. This is a question. We just have a few more. This goes to sort of the inside nature, and we've talked about it, which is sort of fun. We have, obviously, the fan phone. This was sort of a fun question. It says, during the first series of 24, Milo was asked his computer password. He answered Foothill 12345, which happens to be the address of Foothill College. And he wanted to know how deliberate that was.
You know, I don't know. It might have been an inside joke from the prop people or from the you know, somebody on set.
Right.
Not even
right.
I'm not aware of it.
Right. This is from from Brad Lemons has two real quick questions. It says, right after 9/11, Hollywood creative people met with the U.S. government officials to help intelligence community and military people to think outside the box. And I do remember reading articles about that. And Brad wants to know, did anyone from 24 participate in those meetings?
No, I was aware of it, and I was kind of surprised that none of us were invited, but I don't believe any of us were invited.
Interesting. And then we've got a number of questions like this, I'm sure you've been asked before, is any of the writers or the producers worry about giving ideas to terrorists?
Not really. I mean, I don't think, I think whatever ideas we may have conjured, are either so improbable that a terrorist would be foolish to try it,
right.
or have already been or sort of self-evident or obvious. I don't
exactly.
think you know, a nuclear bomb in Los Angeles is, you know, the first is our idea.
Right, exactly. And we've got a lot of questions, and I'm sure you have as well, about talk of the 24 motion picture. And actually, I haven't asked you this season, but where are we with that? Is that something that you think is eventually going to happen?
I think eventually it will happen, but I don't think it'll happen as long as Jack Bauer is at the center of the 24 television franchise. So I think as long as he's on air, we're going to keep that segregated. And then once the show concludes at some point, whenever it does, or when Jack Bauer graduates from television, from the television series, I think we'll probably see him in a movie.
Very good. Well, Howard, I want, on behalf of everyone that listens to this, on certainly behalf of us, all of us here at Television Week, you and Evan and Manny and David and everybody that we speak to, you guys are so incredibly forthright. You address the questions right on. What excites me almost more than anything about the conversations of recent weeks talking to all you guys is your dedication to this and the fact that, you know, coming back for day 7, that you're all committed to make this just an incredible season next year. And speaking on behalf of myself and those of us here in Television Week, and certainly, you know, the fans that have been watching this from day one, we're I think, energized, the fact that you guys are energized. And thank you so much for doing this. You have a wonderful summer, and we'll start again in January.
Thanks for everything, Chuck. Have a great summer, too.
Thank you, and we'll be looking forward to everything. Thank you so much.
All right, my pleasure.
Bye-bye.